As he excited, but he feels like the Lord gave him a word for us in season. And I believe he always brings a word in season, but I just encourage you to consider making yourself available for this time. It's a sacrifice, just like this OSL program. It's a sacrifice. It'll put demands on you. There's time involved, both in the class and privately. When you're by yourself, scripture reading and so forth, and it will bear fruit. You want to be more fruitful? I certainly do. I'm going to do the program. I'm not exempt as well. We can all take advantage of a time together to come together and to grow together as a church. God bless you. All right. Let's get going on the Word. I'm excited today to share with you what God has given me. I'm going to be coming out of Isaiah, the 35th chapter. So let's dig in together. Talking about Israel, but talking about the true Israel, and that's the church as we know it. The wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the Arabah will rejoice and blossom like a crocus. It will blossom profusely. God never does things halfway. It will blossom profusely, the scripture says, and rejoice with rejoicing and shout of joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. And here's our part. Encourage the exhausted, strengthen the feeble, say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, the recompense of God will come, but he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the Arabah. The scorched land will become a pool, and thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, its resting place. Grass becomes reeds and rushes. A highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way. And fools will not wander onto it. No lion will be there, nor any vicious beast will go upon it. These will not be found there, the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return with joyful shouting, with everlasting joy upon their heads. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. You know, the Word of God is timeless. It transcends years and decades, and even centuries. And I saw something in this passage that speaks to 2021, speaks to the time we are living in. I had a brief vision in prayer this week that puzzled me. It was simple. It was just, I saw a ball being tossed and then dribbling into the horizon. And I was thinking about Sir Isaac Newton's, he has three laws of motion, and I was thinking of the first law of motion that states an object in motion tends to stay in motion unless an external force acts upon it. our country seems to be headed for destruction. Seems to be headed for destruction. We have a COVID crisis, a border crisis, an inflation crisis, and more. There seems to be no relief or no solution in the natural, unless an external force intervenes and changes the course and the destiny, gets the destiny of the U.S. of A. back on track, that got the one that God has planned and foreseen. That's where Newton's second law comes in, is when that force interrupts, changes the course of that which is in motion. And I believe God is about to do just that, to intervene in our beloved nation. Two songs came to mind. I mean, you know, you can't make this stuff up. First one that came into my mind was by the Zombies, believe it or not. And the title is what's important, not the lyrics. The title of that song is "The Time of the Season." The only lyric that is appropriate, I think, is "It's a time for loving." Really, it's a time for love to intervene. His love, him, himself, to intervene. The second song was by Tasha Cobbs. It's a more recent one, and the team has done that. And it's entitled, "This Is a Move." It's a powerful song. Mountains are still falling. We need that kind of a move. A God that will intervene and take those things out of the way that are standing and halting the progress that he has foreseen for you and I and for this nation. We need a move, the song says. So I've entitled this morning's message, "It's Time." It's time. Number one, it's time for the glory of the Lord. It is time for the glory of the Lord to cover the earth, as the scripture says. And I believe we are privileged to be living in a time where we're going to witness just that. His glory changes, creates change. His glory changes people. His glory changes the atmosphere. His glory changes kings, presidents, and nations. That's the kind of glory that I want to see come in this season. It's time for that kind of glory to come in our midst, even in our church, and in our homes, and in our workplaces. Isaiah 25:9, "For the Lord has spoken, and it will be said in that day, Behold, this is our God for whom we have waited, that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." And in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 13:12, "For now we see in a mirror dimly," or darkly. We don't understand what we're seeing in many cases. We have a lot of questions. "But then, face to face, now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known. But now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love." It's time for love to intervene. Not my love, not my imperfect love, my love that loses its patience and gets angry when I don't get my way, when things don't happen the way I think they should happen. But it's time for his love to intervene and for him to have his way. And it starts right here, one life at a time, one person at a time, and then it spreads like wildfire wherever we go. Second Corinthians 3, verses 17 and 18. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom or liberty. Our freedom is what's at stake in this hour. No secret, if you see what's happening. But we, the scripture says, with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed or changed. That word is the word we get metamorphosis from. It's like things look one way, but as the process continues, and I would even say as God's hand is on the process, that's when real change takes place. Do you need change in your life? I do. God's not finished with me yet. That's for sure. Matthew Henry renders this verse 2, in our text in Isaiah 35. This is what he says. God will manifest himself more than ever in his grace and love to mankind. The more we see by faith of this glory of the Lord, the more joyful and the more fruitful shall we be. And so, it's probably a fair statement that many have lost hope in their lives. Many have just fallen prey to fear and anxiety in this hour, and they have forgotten their first love. They've forgotten the source of their strength and their hope and their faith. I'm talking about the church. I'm not talking about society at large. I'm talking about his church. So, what's the solution? To believe and see by faith, not just the glory of the Lord is coming, but it is already here. Here. But if you're so preoccupied on your own issues, your own problems, your own needs, you're not focusing on him and you're not aware that God is on the move. I'm hearing reports all over the country of pockets of revival that will come into what the prophets are saying, into a reformation. We don't just need revival. Revival is like a fire in the pan, a flash in the pan, but then it wanes. We need a reformation. I need a reformation in my life as well. That's why I say God's not finished with me yet. His glory is already here. His great awakening has already begun. But we can still call forth that glory for his glory into our midst, into this church, into Worcester County, into Massachusetts, into New England, into the nation, that we have the privilege of being residents of. It's time for the glory of the Lord to come and transform and bring about the change that politicians can't, presidents can't, kings can't. Only one king can. His name is Jesus. Secondly, it's time for the justice of the Lord, from verse 4. It says in our text in Isaiah 35, fear not, your God will come with a vengeance. The recompense of God will come. It sounds severe, and in a sense, it is severe. That's what justice is. Justice meets out what is right and righteous. And to that word avenged means inflicting or just a just or merited punishment. To vindicate is to defend or justify or protect from attack. And so that's really what's behind that. You have to kind of dig into it a little bit. And Psalms 9 speaks to this. It's a little lengthy, but I'm going to read it. The title I have here is A Psalm of Thanksgiving for God's Justice. That's the heading over the Psalms 9. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before you. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne judging righteously, rebuked the nations, destroyed the wicked, blotted out their name forever. The enemy has come to an end in perpetual ruins, and you have uprooted cities, the very memory of them perished. But the Lord abides forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will execute judgment for the peoples with equity. The Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Now, let's go to the New Testament. Luke 18, 7. Jesus was teaching a parable here of the unrighteous judge and the widow. That's the context here. And verse 7 says, shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? Means for people and for God's purposes, but it's all will be for his glory also. Now that word recompense there in Isaiah 35:4, the root of it means dealing or dealings. Really it's talking about redemption or restoration or resolution for God's glory. Isaiah 59:18. According to their deeds, so he will repay wrath to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. And I would add or paraphrase, those that are promoting their own agenda and plans, not God's. So it's what's going on behind the scenes that's we're witnessing the result of it. But it's what's going on behind closed doors, the ones who are really pulling the strings in the government and in our nation and in our society. So we need to continue to pray, stand up, speak up for righteousness, for the faith, for our Savior, and especially for the unborn, because a lot of this, if you really research it, it all goes back to the spirit of Baal or the death of the unborn. That enough said at this time regarding that. It's time for justice to be rendered. Only God can be just in meeting out that. Thirdly, it's time for the salvation of the Lord. Speaks to this in verses 3, 4, and 8. For our part, encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not, because he will save you. The end of verse 4, it says. And wherever I go, I'm a people person. I'm always looking at people's eyes. Their eyes are a window to their spirit or their soul. And there's so much fear out there, whether they have a mask on, don't have a mask on. I'm just seeing people are so, so anxious wherever I go. And God has a remedy for that, His peace. He's going to invade the atmosphere. He's going to change the course or interrupt the course that we're on. Jesus speaking of persecution and turbulent times. And if you follow the persecuted church, if you follow what's going on worldwide, not just in places like Afghanistan where they're knocking door to door and killing known Christians, it's happening in multiple countries. People are being executed for their faith. God doesn't intervene, it could be coming to a community near you. Seem far-fetched? I don't think so. It's all about freedom. Jesus speaking, Luke 21:13, it will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. Luke 21:13, 21:19, by your endurance you will gain your lives. And verse 28, regarding physical signs in the earth, when these things take place, straighten up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. One person I follow and listen to, a prophetic voice, Johnny Enloe, he follows the number of earthquakes and volcanic eruptions. There was another one just yesterday in a Spanish island, and I think it supposedly destroyed 1,100 homes and businesses already on this island. That's just one sign in the earth, and there are many, many more. Take notice, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. It also talks in our text about the highway of holiness, verse 8. And the redeemed will walk there. How are they going to walk on this special roadway called the highway of holiness spiritually? 2 Corinthians 5:7, walking by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 10:38, my righteous one shall live by faith, or by his or her faith. Psalms 107:2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who he has redeemed, and I would add, will redeem from the hand of the adversary. Galatians 6:9, I think I omitted that. Do not grow weary in doing good or doing the Lord's work, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So we need to stay the course, stand in faith, press in, press on, and press through. And Paul talks about his own life in Philippians 3:12-14 as well. He hasn't arrived yet, but he says, I'm going to keep pushing on, keep pushing through, keep pressing in. Never give up. You know, there are certain things that we need to keep on our refrigerator. You remember that little cartoon with the duck and the big hand like choking And the caption is, never give up. Right up till the end, don't give up. God has a remedy. God has a answer of redemption and salvation. It's time for salvation and freedom to come. It's time for the people of God to be fully released. Yes, we're free, but we have to walk in that freedom as well. Or it's not really freedom. It's not real to you and I. Number four, it's time for miracles and the power of God to be manifest. And you have to get rid of your small thinking. It's not and should not be limited to the elect, to the big names, to the tents, to the crusades. And if you go online, you'll see these things are happening, absolutely. But you have that same power within you. That same power lives in you, the scripture says. The power that raised Christ from the dead. And God's going to make a way for that power to be released. One life at a time. Stop thinking small. You don't have a small God, you have a big God, an itty-bitty devil. Time for miracles and the power of the Lord. In our text, Isaiah 35, 5-7. Blind eyes will be opened, deaf ears unstopped. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak. It's not just referring to physical manifestations. It's talking about spiritually blind, spiritually deaf, spiritually crippled people. You know them. You work with them. You see them wherever you go. And you have the answer of eternal life living within you. You have that answer that will set them free and give restore their hope again and dispel their fear again. So power evangelism isn't just for tent meetings and crusades and big events. Nothing wrong with those things. But God excels in one-on-one ministry, in using you and I in ways we never thought he would, if we would just listen, obey, and pray, and then act in obedience. The church needs to arise for such a time as this. Isaiah 60, 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for your light has come. He's here. Yes, there is deep darkness. I won't deny that. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Not somebody else, not in some generic way. You are the beneficiary of that glory. For behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you and his glory will appear upon you. Do you believe that? I mean, do you believe it? Or is it just mere words on a page? It's time we start believing what the word says and then living that, making it a living reality in our lives. Is it dangerous? You bet. Yeah, the enemy will flee. He'll leave you alone. He'll go bother somebody else when he sees you dare to believe and act on God's word. He will flee promptly. I shared it before, but it bears sharing again. When I was just a newly born again, I was in bed. I lived by myself. I was in bed, and it was as if I felt a hand come and choke the life out of my throat. I couldn't even speak. But finally, I blurted out, "Jesus!" And that filthy spirit, it was like a bullet ricocheting. That's the sound I heard. And it was a literal sound I heard. That's how fast he put his tail between his legs and got out of my house and out of my life. This is the power that you have when you speak God's word in your life and in your situation, in your challenges. And when you pray, you've got to believe that God's going to answer, intervene, redeem, save, deliver, set free. Matthew Henry, again, regarding this verses 5 to 7. "These waters shall flow and dispossess them." The enemy, in other words. God will display his miraculous power, and he will do it in you and through you. It's not for somebody else. Yeah, it is, in a sense, but it's also for you and I. We were created for his glory. We were created to do great exploits, the scripture said, and says, still says. Who, me? Yes, you. You belong to Jesus? Are you filled with his Holy Spirit? Then that is you, not just somebody else. He'll do it through you. Psalm 60, verse 12. "Through God we shall do what? Valiantly. Because he is the one who will deal with your adversary," or plural, adversaries. It's time for the miraculous. It's time to get rid of the ordinary and walk in the extraordinary for his glory. And number 5, it's time for the joy of the Lord. Yahoo! No more sadness, no more gloom. How you doing? Oh, okay. Oh, just okay? For the joy of the Lord. It says in verse 1 and 2, "The wilderness will rejoice and blossom profusely." It'll bloom as God intended, and you will too when you dare to believe his word and you dare to obey his voice. Isaiah 55:12, "You will go out with joy and be led forth with peace." Because, Nehemiah 8:10, "Celebrate, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." When he said that, things were not looking that great when they were building the wall. There was resistance. There was fear. There was lack. But Nehemiah declared the joy of the Lord in the midst of his challenges. He said, "The joy of the Lord," telling the people that he was leading, "is your strength." So, you need to enter into the joy of your master, which it talks about in Matthew 25, 21 and 23, the good and faithful servant that acted faithfully, that honored him faithfully, that walked before him righteously. 1 John 5:4, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, overcomes in your life through you. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. That's what overcomes. When you dare to believe, when you dare to step out into uncharted territory for the Lord and for His glory. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burdens. The God who is. You know the God who is? The God who is your salvation. He will step up when you need Him. He will back you up when you obey Him and when you dare to do those great exploits that He's ordained for your life. It's time for God to arise, for His people to arise, and for His enemies to be scattered. Psalm 68:1. It's time for all to see and say, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Let God arise. Let God arise in you. And you will see your enemies cut and run. They will flee. Just like that. When you dare to believe that you serve a God who heals you, saves you, sets you free, and is with you. Even always, the scripture says, unto the ends of the earth. It's time, church. It is time. You and I. Right now. Not next month, not next year. Today. Starting today, it's time for the glory of the Lord to be manifest in you and through you. God bless you as you respond to the challenges of the day. In Jesus' name.